Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Welcome to the program, Daniel.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing very well.
Good.
Let's talk about foreign policy.
Yes, for sure.
We need more emphasis on foreign policy. We do our part the best we can, but, you know, the country's not all that interested. You know, they can hide from it. But there's a lot of problems out there and a lot of potential real danger. And we'll talk about a subject we've talked about before, and of course that's Yemen. But in the context of war crimes, you know, it's been in the news. It's the UN has declared that there's war crimes probably committed by both sides. And of course, we're very much involved, at least our government's starting to admit we're involved in Yemen. And we provide weapons and bombs and information, everything that they need, even though we don't have troops on the ground. Supposedly, yeah. We probably have CIA agents and special forces, we usually do. So we're very much involved, but there is no denial that this is just happening without our support. And of course, it's been going on for a long time. There's been a lot of killing, 8,000 killed and 10,000 wounded, and it goes on. And then the real tragedy, which fits into the conventional definition of war crimes, is what has it done to the civilian population? They're being killed by the bombs, but then they're starving by the bombs. And in a way, it's similar to the tragedy that was going on in the 1990s in Iraq, how we bombed, even though our troops weren't there fighting and killing, but the destruction of the infrastructure was so damaging. So these are war crimes, but as we'll talk today, I want to expand the definition of a war crime. But these definitely are war crimes that have gone on. But unfortunately, we're a participant, something that nobody wants to admit, the people don't like to hear these stories. But if they're true, it challenges us to curtail maybe our righteousness in criticizing others and not saying, you know, what can you do about your own policies that might make a difference?
And this is, Colonel Wilkerson, who spoke at our conference just a week and a half ago or so, he said this is the worst war in the world right now, the war in Yemen. And I think that's even an understatement, because this is pure Saudi-led aggression against a neighbor. The country of Yemen, they overthrew the leader that was put in from the Arab Spring. The Saudis or a group of Yemenis didn't like him, so they overthrew him. Maybe good, maybe bad, who knows, but we certainly know that it's none of Saudi Arabia's business who rules Yemen. But they decided to start attacking in 2015 to put the guy back in power that they wanted to have in power. Talk about meddling, you know, that's, forget hacking, dropping tons of bombs on this country. So they started the aggression, as you point out, maybe 10,000 killed, over 8 million at risk of starvation. It's a war of attrition. It's almost a genocidal war. They block the ports so people can't get food in. And so the UN has come out with a report saying that, you know, these may be war crimes, attacks on civilians, the rape, constant rape everywhere, child soldiers being used. All of these meet the definition of war crimes. And it really puts a big question mark on the U.S., and they don't like having the light shined on them, the Pentagon and the War Hawks in Washington. But it does say, well, why are you participating then if this is a war crime?
Well, I think the U.N. does more harm than good. But if they come up and pointing their finger at the right places, I think that this is worthwhile talking about. And they had this report out. It's the fact that policies that are endorsed by or manipulated by others, they support war. And I think all the way back to Korean War, you know, U.N. resolution, that sort of thing. But, you know, the report has come out recently, but we have indirectly responded to this. And I want to read a short sentence or two from how this was handled. And this comes from antiwar.com. UN reports details on these war crimes. But this article says, previous UN reports haven't been well received by the Saudis, and in those cases, angry moves to the UN National Security Council and the backing of the U.S. ultimately forced the UN to withdraw the reports, despite the findings, no fault with any of them, any of the facts within. No problem. The facts are there. but get the report out of the way. So even though we were indirectly involved and morally involved, we didn't give them the support. So therefore, we're a powerful country. You know, when you have an empire to manipulate, you have to be influential, whether it's the IMF or the World Bank or the United Nations. So we were able to stymie this, but it's still out there. There is still some news. There will be some progressives that will make some reports on this, but you wonder, how bad does it have to get before the American people say, you know, enough is enough. Let's quit this nonsense.
And the passage you read is astonishing, because talk about immorality. The U.S. knows that these facts are true about the Saudi-led coalition. They know that these things are happening, yet they strong-arm the U.N. to not report on these things. It's just disgusting. And, you know, we talked about, I think, a little bit yesterday, but a couple of recent strikes in Yemen by the Saudis and their coalition partners, United Arab Emirates, chief among them, killed about 100 kids, school bus, marketplace, this and that. Can you imagine if Assad had done that? Of course, we'd be bombs away, but we're not bombs away, because what we're trying to do was furiously trying to focus attention elsewhere. Mattis, after these couple of strikes, sent a three-star general over to investigate this killing of a bunch of kids over there. And here's what this three-star came up with. Here's what the Pentagon said. These mistakes are tragic, but we haven't seen any callous disregard by the people we're working with. Of course, that's a lie, and that is a lie, and the UN report shows that's a lie, because the UN report talked about the no-strike list. There are 30,000 sites that should be not stricken because they're civilian sites, and the UN report found that the Saudis routinely ignored these 30,000 no-strikes. So the idea that there's no callous disregard isn't just a bald-faced lie.
Well, that is what he made his decision on, his strategic decision, that he listened to him and said, well, it's not callous disregard. But he didn't say nothing ever happened, but, you know, those things happen in war. But he used that to dismiss the whole thing and say nothing is going to change. We're going to continue. As a matter of fact, he even said that we will continue, you know, the support. As we have been, we're not going to change anything. So that is pretty calloused disregard, I'll tell you,
yeah.
Represents a policy which is morally defunct as far as I'm concerned.
And the cynicism involved, because the U.S. is claiming that, hey, you know, our helping, because the U.S. helps find targets for the Saudis. We give them the bombs, then we do the targeting. They said, well, our targeting is actually preventing more kids from being killed than would have if we weren't normally involved, which is such a cynical view of these things, that somehow getting involved and showing them where to bomb, where to commit acts of aggression, we're actually doing a humanitarian thing. We're saving kids. It's horrible.
You know, and Matt has followed up, because he didn't want to dismiss the UN completely. He says, well, when order is being reestablished or improved, then we'll go to the UN to get the peace treaty. He didn't say those words, but that's what he was implying. At the right time, we'll go to UN. Like, we'll manipulate the UN, dismiss them when they're criticizing us, but when they're going to have a settlement, we'll go to the UN, which is a bit hypocritical.
And, you know, we want to talk about who is committing the war crimes. You know,
right.
This UN report specifically neglected or consciously declined looking at U.S. and U.K. involvement. But you've always had kind of a much broader definition of torture and war crimes.
Yeah, the torture, you know, is very significant and important. You can't dismiss it. But how can the torture be different if you're waterboarding somebody, or if you bomb a bus of kids and families lose their children? You could argue that the bigger torture was the bomb, you know, but nobody considers that. It's vivid because it's a direct thing to go ahead and torture another human being. But torture. War is a torture. War is torture. But the other thing is war crimes. Who are the war criminals? We do know that, if people do it deliberately, America's greatest war criminal, I think a lot of people would agree, you know, occurred in Vietnam War, the My Lai incident. Mm-hmm. The lieutenant lost his head and just literally murdered kids and innocent people. But even then, I think about, who's the war criminal? Yes, he is a criminal, but he lost his mind. To me, the biggest war criminals are those who instigate war for special interest benefit. It has nothing to do with defending one's country or defending liberty or anything else. It's there to promote some special interest of theirs, whether it's financial, whether it's geographic, obtaining more land, and political. There are so many motivations, and they just go ahead and promote the war. And so many people are in war. How about the war propaganda, which we had to contend with, you know, when we were trying to slow things up in with the Iraq war, that the propaganda is there. The war propaganda is just a real monster. And they're committing a war crime, too. I think the Chicken Hawks are really deserving of a lot of criticism. And even if they don't go to war and didn't shoot a weapon, they're evil because behind the scenes, You know, cannon fodder. They're expendable. The people are expendable. We'll do that. But they're too important. They can get their exemptions. They don't have to go to war, which is a mixed bag because there shouldn't have been a war to reject. But they're in a category and saying, look, we are going to send your kids to war, but we don't want to go. So I think they're guilty of war crimes, but it is broader, and it is moral, and it is legal, but it's very devastating. I think they're the ones who create, the greatest killing, because if the wars wouldn't start, you wouldn't have all this, and the people who end up doing the literally dropping of a bomb, if the purpose is to go into a civilian area or accidentally, it's a war crime. But no, that isn't counted. But it's the people who are the instigators of war. I remember talking on the House floor at one time, talking about a certain group of people loved war and mentioned a political party. Boy, was he outraged, you know, the fact that they know none of us support war, you know, but why do we have the wars if they don't support them? Because they have to generate support from the people. And the natural instinct, from my viewpoint, is anti-war and pro-peace. And the people we deal with and talk to, they are anti-war and they are pro-peace, and it's very natural. But they have to have an enemy. And everybody talks about who's our Hitler for this week. That motivates the American people to say, yeah, go get them, because they'll come here and drop nuclear weapons on us if we don't do it. So it's the propaganda, the liars that are both in and out of government to scare everybody to death. They're the ones who should be charged with war crimes.
And you talk about war propaganda in the media. You know, the United Arab Emirates are a chief partner of the Saudis in this. They're bombing away. They're bombing Yemen. But they're also giving a lot of money to Washington think tanks. In fact, they're the number one foreign funder of the Atlantic Council. The Atlantic Council is working with Facebook to make sure that anti-war voices are silenced. So you have the United Arab Emirates spending a lot of money on think tanks, making sure that that war propaganda keeps flowing. But, you know, digging deeper on who might be at fault, or who might be culpable in these war crimes, what about the people that are involved with the military-industrial complex? What about the people that are building these bombs? I mean, down to the individual person.
You know, one that is a little more difficult to challenge, but I have. I did it with a national audience. And that is the argument, we shouldn't have gone in there. We did. We went in there, killed a lot of people, messed things up. But the war is still going on, and we don't want to think that those individuals have died in vain. And then they start to have, I'm sure, subconsciously, if not conscious, some remorse, and they feel guilty about what they did. But instead of admitting the guilt and that they made a mistake, and I think of Walter Jones, because he supported a war, saw the truth, changed his mind, and changed his position on war. But some of these people, knuckle down. They use it. And some of them, you know, if you talk to them, you don't come away and think that, they're militant fascist, yeah, Hitler-type people. Monsters. They're just people who are motivated. They buy into the lies. They get the war started. They don't know what to do. And then they say, well, we have to keep doing it. We have to win. Even Johnson did that, in Vietnam War. He sent hundreds of thousands of people, into Vietnam because He didn't want to be the first president to lose a war, you know, this sort of thing. They just can't live up to the truth. The truth hurts, and that's why they can't do this. But there are some people out there that will dissect this out. We do have allies, and we do have friends that will help promote, you know, the truth about why these wars are being fought. It's just a shame that there's so many demagogues around.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would say the question is not when we should pull support from this horrible coalition attacking Yemen, but why did we ever support them at all? And we mentioned this in the show a couple of weeks ago. The AP, Associated Press, very mainstream press organization, they did an investigation and found out that our assistance to the Saudis is only helping Al-Qaeda. So under the guise of fighting Al-Qaeda, we're actually helping Al-Qaeda. And the other thing is, this is all about Iran, as we know.
You know, and I mentioned that, you know, the people have given, too much support. They listen to the demagogues and they shift their opinions. But the other thing that we have to look at is what did the founders think about this issue? Because it's been an issue that's been with us throughout all of history. And their issue and their conclusion was that you don't want the king to be able to declare war all by himself. And that is why they had an executive branch that was to be weaker than the legislative branch. And they were, unfortunately, naive because they thought the people would make sure the message gets to the Congress. The people sometimes try, and yet the system has bred individuals to go to the Congress that become part of the system. And it isn't so much a battle between the Congress and the executive branch. It becomes a mixture, too. And even the courts will support these efforts. And but the protection, the ultimate protection the founders thought would be the Congress, because they wanted a republic. They weren't going to have, a national vote and referendum on going to war. You had people representing us, and they would go there, and they would stand up to this, and they would stand up to the illegal wars. You know, just think about the difference that it would have made since World War II if we had never shot one bullet in any war without a declaration of war. How much prosperity would there be? How many more people would be alive? How many more countries would we be getting along with? There are a lot of Americans died, but how many foreigners died? How many people that we've gone over? And it's still happening indirectly in Yemen. We have a moral responsibility for what's going on in Yemen. Well, we're paying. You know, there are bombs and our weapons and information, even though they at least don't admit that it's our bombs that we're lobbing over there. We let somebody else do the dirty work for them. But I think people, if they had the information and realized that we're talking about a major moral issue, that it can be solved, the founders tried, but until we have a Congress that's well-informed and not part of the problem, and fortunately, you know what, I think they're rated about 17% in popularity right now, so maybe we are making inroads.
Maybe. Well, I would just conclude by mentioning, if you like what we talk about on the Liberty Report, ronpaulinstitute.org is the Institute's website that primarily has foreign policy news, foreign affairs news. We have a lead story now about the Ron Paul Institute conference. We've got a great piece that we just put up about NATO's involvement and the Atlantic Council's involvement in manipulating our elections. And I would just finally say that, this whole thing with the war in Yemen is producing a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's all about Iran. It's all about the U.S., the Saudis, and the Israelis in a constant state of panic about Iran's relatively increasing influence. Of course, Iran's influence increases every time the U.S. intervenes in the Middle East. And so this intervention in Yemen has turned the Yemenis to look to Iran, to look to Hezbollah, to look for ways of defending their own country, their own territory, their own homes against foreign invaders. So these are the unintended, I would guess they're unintended consequences of interventions. It actually produces that which you claim to be against in the first place. So the answer is for the U.S. to get out, abandon the Saudis. They're on their own if they want to be a bunch of murderous thugs.
Very good. And once again, what we need to dwell on, and we were talking about here today, is war crimes. And we show and have talked about how the immediate image of war crimes being committed in Yemen is very, very serious. But The point I'm trying to make is there's a much bigger picture. It's those individuals that are motivated to create the wars and establish the wars. Young people don't decide in two different countries all of a sudden to band together and say, you know, it's being pretty neat if we could have a war. Let's go fight some young people in another country. Never. It is just isn't the way it happens. Governments start these wars, and that is the problem. And they're the war criminals, even though they may have never picked up a gun and they didn't do anything. But they are the promoters of war, and they are the propagandists. They are the profiteers, and it's been around for a long time. But I always remain optimistic that if people get the information, that they're going to have a change of mind and we can change things. I always thought the internet would be our salvation and they would help us get the truth out. And we still can. We still use the internet. We still reach a lot of people. It has a lot of problems. But ultimately, I believe technology and dealing with issues, and just remember that, you know, the issues that you believe in and ideas can't be stopped even by manipulating the internet. And the issue of peace over war is something that I think can survive and can win. We just need all the help possible to help promote that message. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Come back soon.